As the sound of the bells died away, a voice began to speak from somewhere high up in the gloomy shadows above their heads. The magicians strained their ears to hear it. Many of them were now in such a state of highly strung nervousness that they imagined that instructions were being given to them as in a fairy tale. They thought that perhaps mysterious prohibitions were being related to them. Such instructions and prohibitions, the magicians knew from the fairy tales, are usually a little queer, but not very difficult to conform to, or so it seems at first sight. They generally follow the style of, "Do not eat the last candied plum in the blue jar in the corner cupboard," or "Do not beat your wife with a stick made from wormwood." And yet, as all fairy tales relate, circumstances always conspire against the person who receives the instructions, and they find themselves in the middle of doing the very thing that was forbidden to them, and a horrible fate is thereby brought upon their heads. At the very least, the magicians supposed that their doom was being slowly recited to them, but it was not at all clear what language the voice was speaking. Once, Mr. Segundus thought he heard a word that sounded like maleficent, and another time, interficere, a Latin word meaning to kill. The voice itself was not easy to understand. It bore not the slightest resemblance to a human voice, which only served to increase the gentleman's fear that fairies were about to appear. It was extraordinarily harsh, deep, and rasping. It was like two rough stones being scraped together, and yet the sounds that were produced were clearly intended to be speech, indeed were speech. The gentleman peered up into the gloom in fearful expectation, but all that could be seen was the small, dim shape of a stone figure that sprang out from one of the shafts of a great pillar and jutted into the gloomy void. As they became accustomed to the queer sound, they recognized more and more words. Old English words and old Latin words all mixed up together, as if the speaker had no conception of these being two distinct languages. Fortunately, this abominable muddle presented few difficulties to the magicians, most of whom were accustomed to unravelling the ramblings and writings of scholars long ago. When translated into clear, comprehensible English, it was something like this.
"Long, long ago," said the voice, 500 years ago or more, on a winter's day at twilight, a young man entered the church with a young girl with ivy leaves in her hair. There was no one else there but the stones. No one to see him strangle her but the stones. He let her fall dead upon the stones, and no one saw but the stones. He was never punished for his sin, because there were no witnesses but the stones. The years went by, and whenever the man entered the church and stood among the congregation, the stones cried out that this was the man who had murdered the girl with the ivy leaves wound into her hair. But no one ever heard us. But it is not too late. We know where he is buried. In the corner of the south transept. Quick, quick, fetch picks, fetch shovels, pull up the paving stones, dig up his bones, let them be smashed with the shovel, dash his skull against the pillars and break it. Let the stones have vengeance too. It is not too late, it is not too late.